the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Wednesday morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and have rejoice to be glad in it. Thanks for joining us here this morning. Got a little bit different show planned for you today. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag yet, but I think you're going to enjoy it. And look down at my calendar. It's the 21st of August. I'm thinking about. It's always in my brain, you know that. At football two-a-day time, and wow. I spent a lot of time yesterday up at top of Sky High with Tree Limb Jim and Mark Trump and Bob Evans, who's here. We've got a couple more that are swinging by. We're getting that grass cut down. Man, you can't even believe it. We brush hogged it, and then we mowed it. Oh, my goodness, is that place coming to life. So God bless you all. Thanks for all of you who have come and volunteering a day here and volunteering a day there. Something's happening here. What it is, excuse me, ain't exactly clear. It's some of the stuff I want to talk about today. Before I get into it, I want to get Jared go to the schedule because there's some things on the schedule I've been kind of ignoring. I want to make sure that we don't ignore it. I don't know whether it's Jared or Connor this morning. Doesn't really matter. Whichever one, pull up at schedule because I want to make sure that you're all aware of all these things that you can get involved with. Because again, I've told you a number of times, if you find somebody else doing what we're doing, God bless you. Support them. And we are a ministry of action. We take pride in the fact that we do more than just talk. And we just thank all of you that are out there, and we try to help you get involved wherever you can. So let's run down through the schedule real quick here, some things we don't want to miss. I'm not going to go into depth on them because you can click on it yourself. Salt and Light Brigade August Huddle at Chad Estes' house. It's going to be this Friday and Saturday, the 23rd through the 29th. If you're going to go, please let Chad know. Please let him know because, you know, he feeds y'all and, you know, he takes care of you. Chad, I know you're out there. Anything that you want to say about your event, buddy? Anything that that I might avoid important stuff?
Well, I'm just going to say, if you plan on coming down, we'd love to have some people show up. I just RSVP, you know, Texas at saltandlightbrigade.org. So that way I just know who's coming so I can know how many burgers to throw on.
Friday night's an icebreaker. Saturday, the 24th, 9:30 a.m.-ish. Coffee connection, reflection. Prayer, Bible study, praise and worship, survival skills, discuss your get-home vehicle bag, first aid kit, first aid knot tying, conflicted card game, self-defense, tactical weapons, and great, great fellowship. That'll be at Chad's this weekend. Let him know if you're coming. Bless you, Chad. Appreciate all you do. You're the most faithful warrior we have there. Then the 31st, the Equal Justice Patriot Outreach in Missouri, and that's in Branson. And this is not a... public demonstration against anything. This is an outreach of the Equal Justice Tour. Ken Hall's done most of the work behind, but we've got several who are working on that. Polly Heath is elbow deep and helping us get organized. And if you're going to go and want to be part of it, the hotel information is on the page. You have to make your own reservations. Got a great deal for $75 a night, I think it is, to stay right there. We'll have some fun time together. We'll eat some hamburgers together. We'll laugh together. It'll be a great event. We'll hand out some Equal Justice Tour cards and try to recruit more people into this event. Polly, want to say anything, or Mike, or anybody that I'm forgetting about there? It says also invited Doug Hagman, Alex Jones. We don't know if they're coming. We invited them, all right? Invited guests. We don't know what's going on there, okay?
Coach, again, if they could email info at
EqualJusticeTour.com if they're interested in the hotel information. We're staying at the Holiday Inn Express. Info@EqualJusticeTour.com. I'll put it in the chat. And I'll give them the code and the information they need to make a hotel reservation.
So my wife has to do that today, Polly. Appreciate you saying that. So that's Labor Day weekend. That's going to be a fun event. We're going to do a honking wave like we did this last week. Come on, folks. If you're out there, this is a chance for you to gather together. Listen, it's not a time for surge. Don't get in your car and drive all the way to Branson. God bless you, buddy. We appreciate it, but you don't have to do that. But those out there that are in close proximity, we'd love for you to come and be part of it and fellowship with you and all that kind of stuff. Next one, Jared. Let's go back there. Connor. Well, I'm looking. My fingernails are dirty today. I got paint on them. I'm a soft guy. I don't do that kind of stuff. Let's go down to Faith and Freedom. Is that right? September 27th. Talk Salt and Light Brigade Fellowship. Chad's letting you know September 27th to 29th. There's another one. Another big event coming down there with those Texas folks. So get that one. If you can't make it this weekend, get this one on your schedule so you'll be able to go there. Let's go to the next one, Connor. Same thing with Chad. A lot of people plan out ahead. The Faith and Family Conference, September 28th. Dr. John Diamond's putting that on out in Pennsylvania. It's got some great, great speakers. Click on speaker bios. Click on details, whatever, faithandfreedomconference.com there, Connor, if you can, so people can see exactly who's going to be there. It's going to be quite an event. It's going to be Coach Dave, and it's going to be Bradley Dean, and it's going to be Rusty Thomas, and Matt Truella, and Bill Fetter, and Dran Reese. There they are. This is going to be something, man. This is going to be really, really something. It's right there in the heart. There's Dr. John, Dan Fisher. This is in the heartland of Pennsylvania. Don't want to be part of it. Bradley Dean, Sons of Liberty, Rusty Thomas, and the coach without a goatee. Dr. Mike Spaulding. I forgot about you, Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike's going to be there as well. So put that on your schedule. And if you're close out there, get out there. That's a one-day event. Cool. Great work, John. Next one. Let's run through these one by one. Then we got on the 10th, a scrimmage and huddle. Pass the Salt, Light Salt, Light Equal Justice Tour. This is going to be held in Mayberry, RFD, Andy Taylor, Barney Fife area. That's Thursday, October the 10th. And there's an event going on Thursday the 10th, and then a huddle and scrimmage Friday and Saturday, October 11th through the 12th. Again,
Paul is Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph.
I have something to say about that date there. Okay. I've been trying to get reservations down there because they got a fall festival going on.
Yep.
So if you're going down there, you need to make reservations now.
Don't wait any longer. Franklin right. Graham is having an event down there on Thursday. That's why we're going to go down there and try to recruit some Equal Justice folks out of that thing as well. That's October 10th, 11th, and 12th. Paula, anything to add on that? Mike, anybody?
Yeah, the hotels are really expensive that weekend because it brings in 10,000 people, so they all up their prices. We're going to work on a group rate today. We're going to try to call some hotels and find a group rate for everybody. You can get a campground site at Veterans Park Campground in Mayberry, Mount Airy.
And the town of King, North Carolina is not that far down a really good road to get up to Mount Airy.
So yeah, there's other towns surrounding that you can get a hotel cheaper, but Mount Airy's packed that week.
Folks, we'll get you some information on that as well. We'll get that up on the net. Let's go back. Is it Connor or Jared or Commander, whoever it is? Let's go back. And folks, these are open to any of you to come at any time. And the idea is to try to assemble the body together, that you get together with like-minded people in your area. That was October. What's the next one there, Connor? Do we have another one? Man, oh, man. The Rimfire Conference in Montana. Said what? Yep, we're going to Montana. Leighton Howerton and Rob Pugh are working together to bring this one together. It's Leighton, Dr. Mike Spaulding, Coach Dave, Bradley Dean. And if you've ever been looking to get out in the big sky country out in that area, this would be a great time to do it. October 25th through the 27th. Save the dates. It'll be a great event as well. And then Bobby Lee. I don't know if we have Bobby Lee's up there or not. Do we have that on the schedule? Sorry, Bobby, if we don't have that up there, that's kind of – I'll take responsibility for that one. Is there another one?
There is a Bobby Lee event the next weekend, 18th, the 19th of October.
That's right.
But we're still putting the details up because he was deciding which town and which hotel. Okay. And all that. We'll have it up for the Monday – events calendar that goes out in the email.
Awesome, folks. Cool. So there's a lot of stuff for you to do to get involved with, and we'd love to come to your town. We'd love to come to your town and help put a team around you. All right?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I'm just sitting here at the Sky High sign, and I'm doing a little bit of mowing. I was just going to continue mowing, and folks could check out the property a little bit while you're talking today, okay?
Oh, so you're going to – so in other words, if they click on you – oh, look at that. Click on Mark Trump. Can you pull that up on the screen?
So Mark? this is Sky High, 6951 Crisland Hill Road. And this is the machine that the ministry's blessed us with.
And
this is touching me, guys. I'm sorry, but we got a big field. We've got a lot of it mowed. Y'all got to realize how big this is. This is Jesus up here working. Okay, so I'm just gonna. Be working this morning while Coach is talking, and hopefully we'll get a blessing, okay?
It's unbelievable. Yesterday, folks, we mowed the one hill over on the other side. I mowed it with a brush hog, and then Bob Evans brought his own fancy finish-type mower, and he went over the other about 15 acres of it. And last night we were standing down at the bottom of that hill of what we had just mowed, and we looked up and thought, oh, my Lord. What a gift that God, the Lord, man, I just can't even tell you. What a gift. And so Mark is going to work on the other side of the driveway today. And just God bless Mark and everybody that's coming and helping. And hey, listen, folks, we need some support, financial support. If you just help us, that's all. That's all I'd say. I'm not going to say any more than that. So you can see that big area of grass that Mark's going to mow down, and then Bob Evans comes over with a finish mower, and then actually when we get done, it looks like a very dry yard. It's all cut down, and it's very, very, looks like a yard. It needs rain. It needs some stuff to die off, but we're going to keep mowing this thing now. It's absolutely, absolutely spectacular. Spectacular. And so if you're interested in coming, even if you can only come for a day, just go through Mark, because Mark's scheduling all that stuff, and we have some equipment up here. Thanks to Randy who sent us the skid steer, and we've got so many things available to us now that we haven't had for several weeks. So bless you all, man. Bless you all. Thanks, Mark. So if you guys want to watch Mark mow, that's life, isn't it, man? Mowing grass and watching Coach Dave live. It couldn't be any better than that, could it? That is heaven. They say almost heaven's West Virginia. Mark Trump's in almost heaven right there now. And as soon as we're off, I got to go get him some diesel fuel to keep him running. So,
well, Dave, when you're mowing, you know, like that, man can do a lot of thinking.
Yes, sir. Like yes, sir. You know what's going to
happen? Amen, Chad. Amen.
Amen. What's going to happen, folks? If Mark is now working on the side of Sky High that is nearest the road, so all the cars that drive by, they're now going to see what Mark's doing. And I'm telling you, their tongues are going to fall out of their mouths. They're going to gasp at how beautiful this place is becoming. This is just on the outside, because when we bought the property, the house on top of it was just a gift in our estimation. It's these 29 and a half acres that you're looking at right now that we're going to develop into a training center to train the next generation. Wow, thank you. Ooh, I felt that, Lord. Mm. We're going to get dads and their sons together, and we're going to teach them how to be men, stand up for their families, teach them the truth, hard work, shooting guns, all that kind of stuff. That's what this is going to become, a training center. You hear what I'm saying? A training center for the next generation of Christian American males. And I believe, I'm sorry, I don't think Jesus is coming as soon as some people think. And we're going to prepare like he's never coming. I'm going to try to raise up and train up children in the way we should go. It's a huge, huge vision. And some of you out there right now say, Coach, I don't even know how to be part of it. Well, dig in that bank account and help support us there. Burning gas. We're burning a lot of gas. We're burning a lot of stuff. So I don't get bogged down. God bless you, man. This touches my heart. Mark got up this morning and went directly to the tractor. directly to the tractor this morning. Hey, tomorrow we have a guest tomorrow you don't want to miss. Connor pulled up there. It's the first thing, says Jennifer Heath. All right, I got her book here. Jennifer Heath. This is a national best-selling book entitled Overcoming Lyme's Disease. Overcoming Lyme's Disease. And I met Jennifer in when we were at Dr. Spaulding's event on All Hands. No, that was called Doc. No, I get it right, Doc. Go ye therefore. It says in March of, I'm reading the back of the book. She's going to be with us tomorrow. In March of 2013, Jennifer became deathly ill after a routine dental appointment. At the time, Jennifer didn't know the correlation between dental appointments and her declining health, and her illness baffled her team of doctors and specialists. In August of 2014, she was finally diagnosed with Lyme disease after going through four surgeries and almost dying twice. She was shocked to hear that after 2 weeks of being treated on antibiotics and now bedridden, all of her doctors claimed that they do not treat Lyme disease, and the one doctor would treat Lyme disease that had a three-month waiting list. In this tell-all book, Jennifer goes deep into her own experience of misdiagnosis of Lyme, the struggle she went through to get healthy, and in the process uncovered many hidden cover-ups in the medical community. Wow. She also discovered what's being called the biggest crime against humanity, because the sickest patients with Lyme disease can't even get it properly diagnosed or disability payments, leaving them to fend for themselves while going untreated. There it is. Jennifer will be with us tomorrow. It's not just Lyme disease. It's about what they're doing with, what they're treating you with, what they're doing. She'll be with us tomorrow. Cool. Gary, get on that one. Others out there. Sue Knapp, where are you, Sue? Make sure you get in here tomorrow to hear from Jennifer. Anybody have anything for the good of the group here before I dive into what I really
want? Well, Dave, this is why I say you're never really sick until you go to the doctor.
A doctor friend of mine, Chad, told me that hospitals kill people. A doctor told me that. Hospitals kill people. They do. So that's the reality of it. Okay, cool. Oh, I got so much good stuff to talk about today. Let's try this one. Jared, click on the second one. Connor, the second one, Mindless Pursuit. Remember we were talking last week, or I'm going to, Lord, help me here. This is going to be a little bit different, folks. It's going to be a little bit different than what we've done, but I think it's important. And I said the other day that almost nothing around us is real. Almost nothing around us is real. We've been lied to about so many things. We've been lied to about government service. We've been education. Education isn't education. That's not education. People sending their school children to college to get educated, they're not getting educated. They're getting indoctrinated. That whole thing, money's fake. Governmental services are fake. Everything is fake. Science is fake. Is global warming real? Is it not real? Is the Earth flat? Is it not flat? There is nothing that seems to be real. And those of us who are fighting a really, really hardy fight, those of you who are fighting, dare I say it, against your church. Mark Trump said to me last night, me and Mark and Bob Evans were sitting around just kind of relaxing after our day of labor. And Mark said something. He talked about the funnel effect, knowledge being a funnel, and that most of us are caught in that one little funnel. We don't realize that funnels are connected. And I said, well, Mark, actually, it's an upside down funnel. It's an upside down funnel. Once that funnel, if I had a funnel in front of me, Mark, the funnel's upside down because it's a little peephole. And once you get up and you peep down that little hole, then it expands. Then the funnel expands. And then you see into deeper and deeper and deeper things. And most of us are looking at the funnel top down. So we're boxed in with a little bit of area, and down at the bottom of the funnel is an opening that goes deeper down in, like you're putting gas in your tank, you got the funnel. Well, you can't see the gas is going in down in the funnel. In fact, sometimes you have to stop pouring and pull the funnel out to see if what's going on down in the tank, right? Well, we are an upside down funnel. We have an upside down funnel, and we peek in and we see everything. And once we begin to see how much bigger that everything is inside that funnel, our knowledge base increases. That's what we're talking about.
Hey, Coach, whenever you look down in a funnel, if you had a bunch of funnels on a stage upside down and you tried to scoot them together, it wouldn't work. So knowledge, the different areas of knowledge, for instance, the Nephilim and transhumanism and genetic modification and technology, funnels, right? All of these different funnels, as you go deeper, the funnels cross over. So if you study your area deep enough, you'll see how your specialty impacts other people's gifts. So really, if you think about knowledge, knowledge is...
The interconnection of it all, Mark.
We're assembling tonight, you're assembling knowledge, assembling gifts.
You're breaking up on the hill. The interconnectedness of it all, okay? Jared, pull that up there real quick. This is called Mindless Pursuit. I came across this commentary, and I thought, man, I got it yesterday. I thought, I got to share this, man. This is written by... this is Mindless Pursuit, Anna von Reitz. Okay, you ready? I'm going to read this fast. As long as we're here at the moment of the great apocalypse, meaning the great revelation, and taking in the view concerning all that these vermin have done for us and in our names, let us also take in the truly mindless character of their activities and the focus of their concerns and what it is that cost us and the entire earth. Our climate is messed up. The earth is grotesquely polluted, not because of farting cows, but because of unregulated pollution by governments, because of volcanic activity, some of it spawned by the government testing of scalar resonance weapons, and lack of focus on real problems like massive dumping of raw sewage into rivers, massive deforestation worldwide, lack of basic potable water, sanitation, gross human ignorance, all left unaddressed on a worldwide basis as we focus on global warming. The World Bank did nothing but hoard and gamble and cheat and tell big lies. The United Nations, they set up shop for itself and ran the UN Corporation as a for-profit business on the side, charging for mercenary peacekeeping services and talking out of both sides of its mouth, double time, at once, while sidelining relief materials intended for third world countries into resale agreements with dictators and madmen. We know they did that in Haiti, right? That's what the Clinton Global Initiative was. The Red Cross, well, it's devolved into a pig's playpen, a storefront for grafters. America, land of the free and home of the brave, well, it's reduced to a source of cheap mercenaries for the U.S. and forced labor taxpayers. The Roman Catholic Church, it's a storefront for arch criminals and sexual and religious perversion ad nauseum, pay as you go or else. The IRS, nothing but a foreign private collection agency run by Spanish Inquisition illegally on our shores. Our vaunted military, which is supposed to protect our and enforce the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, well, they're worthless as teats on a boar. The court system, it's a system, all right. Same kind of system Mickey Rourke and Al Capone used to talk about. The FBI and Justice Department, why, in the words of the California girls, ew, the stench could gag a maggot. And no mistake either, make no mistake, because maggots is what these agencies have largely become. They don't serve the duties and the agendas set forth for all of them. EqualJusticeTour.com. Where's our protection against monopoly interests clogging up news channels and entertainment industries? Where's our protection against interstate bank fraud, mortgage and foreclosure and tax fraud? Where's our protection against securities fraud? I want to know what these people on our payroll have been doing besides screwing us and everyone else blind. They haven't been doing their jobs, and that is for damn sure. Who has been misdirecting all of these people and either leaving them loose to define what their jobs are according to their own administrative code, or outright misdirecting them like Janet effing Reno, firebombing little kids on American soil because they observed CIA drug and sex slave operations taking place next door? I want to know who exactly are the board members of the United States Government, Inc., and where they got the idea that it was their job to sick the BLM, the FBI, the IRS, FEMA, BATF, and all the rest of the alphabet soup agencies on the rest of us. I want to know by what stretch of imagination the perpetrators of all this crap think they're doing, but I think it's most instructive of all to observe why they're doing it. Money! They're all engaged in graft up to their eyeballs, mindlessly pursuing paper clips, computer digits that stand for money, while money itself stands for the value of everything else. Are you all getting the flavor of just how stupid this all is? We got men and women selling their souls for symbols, idols, things that have no real substance, lies, legal fiction, that is, more lies. Hello? How many times must we learn these same lessons over and over again? View, if you will, the spectacle of self-important men running a huge con game based on the unsupportable belief that credit is money and that debt is also money. Then take another step back and view these same men kissing gold coins, because even though you can't eat them, drink them, or use them for clothes or much of anything else, at least you can stagger under the weight of the big bag full of the coinage that they're carrying around. You're taking paper money and they're carrying bags of gold around. And it is their coinage, their product, their commodity. Some people produce corn and some produce smoked ham and some make cars and others make computer chips. But these men make nothing at all but deception and delusions of value, which they sell to others who are too stupid to object, and then it chains them down. Money is currently defined as a scam. Whether paper or gold, it's a scam. It represents value the same way that members of U.S. Congress have represented you in your best interests. Wake up, America. Use your common sense. Think about what money is and is not. So long as we have large numbers of people in mindless pursuit of a commodity they can produce for themselves, you can print your own money. Get a printer and print your own money. There will be no real and no sanity. Just an endless progression of fraud artists making money out of thin air and using it to enrich themselves at the expense of everyone else. And it doesn't matter what form the money takes either. Paper or gold or old shoes or notch sticks. The bottom line isn't in what it is, but in what you believe it is. There's only one form of money that can ever be honest, and that is a form of money that does not yet exist. Money that represents the value of all traded commodities and all labor pools on earth. Maybe someday we will trade with each other using this form of money. Money that can't be commandeered or manipulated as a commonly favoring the various purveyors of this commodity. Until then, we remain enslaved by our own gullibility and stupidity and our failure to produce and regulate our own form of money. Mindless pursuit. So I thought, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do? So, Coach, let's talk a little bit today about money. And no, I'm not going to ask you for any. You can take your hand off your wallet. Money. What is money? And why are we in such pursuit of money? Is debt money? Is that what it is? How do banks do what they do? How they do it? How do they do it? I'm going to give you a real, it's called fractional reserve banking. Okay. I was going to show the video, but I'm not going to take time on it. Let me make it very simple. I put $100,000 in the bank and I got $100,000 in the bank. Now fractional reserve banking system says this: for for every $100 that you loan out, you have to have $10 in the bank to cover. Think about this a minute. I'm going to loan you $100, but I only have $10 to loan. I just made up that other 90%. So they take the $100 that you give them, and they loan that $10 out 10 different times, and they draw interest on it, and they create money that there is no money. They create what's called debt, and then they sell the debt on the bond market and all those different things. And we struggle our whole lives trying to keep up with this Ponzi scheme of inflation, higher taxation to pay for things with stuff that isn't even really money. The Federal Reserve prints money. Jared, let's go here real quick. Let's go to, where is it? down at the bottom. I'm sorry. Click on the one that says a silver certificate. Where is it there? You guys remember that, don't you? You remember what a silver certificate was? Where is it, Jared? I can, no, I got it here. Tax. There it is. Click on it. It's a 5-minute video. Do you guys remember a silver certificate? Do you remember when you were a kid and they gave you a dollar bill and it said on a silver certificate, as we're going to see here in this video, on the front of it, it says redeemable in silver. You could take your silver certificate and go to the bank and give them a silver certificate, and they would give you that same amount in silver. But along the road, they changed that. Let's go ahead and play that video real quickly.
In Denver, I'd like to take a few minutes of your time to show you how we have been deceived. We have been hoodwinked. Our money was changed at one point and has caused a lot of issues that we see happening today. What I have right here is a silver certificate, good for $1, and a Federal Reserve note, also good for $1. The silver certificate has a blue seal, the Federal Reserve note has a green seal, and there's a lot of similarities between the two. George Washington is on both pieces of paper, as are the words the United States of America and $1, and other various decorations all over the paper. But there's a key difference between these two pieces of paper that we should take note. On the silver certificate, it promises something in fine print. Above the large print, it reads in fine print, "This certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand." So there's fine print at the bottom as well, below the words $1. So this piece of paper is saying that you can redeem it for $1 in silver coin. Now that could be a 1-ounce coin, that could be 2 halves, 4 quarters, 10 dimes, whatever the denomination, you could get $1 in silver coin for this piece of paper at one time. The fine print says so. And note that it says $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand. $1 in silver. That indicates a measurement. So this is good for a measured amount of a dollar. Now let's look at the Federal Reserve note in contrast to the silver certificate. It too says $1 on it, but the fine print is missing. There's nothing below the words $1, and there's nothing above the United States of America. Instead of saying, "This certifies that there is on deposit in the Treasury of the United States of America," it just simply says, "The United States of America." And instead of $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand, it just says $1. What it doesn't tell you is $1 of what? There is no measurement. There is no promise to pay out anything. The piece of paper is claiming to be $1, but it's not claiming to pay you $1 in anything. So by removing the promise to pay, how does the paper become what it once promised to pay? Let's look at this another way. I have a mock-up coupon here and a mock-up note. This coupon, like the silver certificate, says coupon redeemable for 5 oranges at Fred's Federal Grocery Store. You see that 5 oranges is in large print, and then there's fine print above and below the 5 oranges. This indicates that this piece of paper is redeemable for something. Now, if we look at the 5-orange note, all it says on it is note and 5 oranges. How, by removing the redeemability, does the paper become what it once redeemed? To put it another way, if you had a certificate or a coupon good for 5 oranges, how much orange juice can you squeeze from 1 5-orange note? I'll give you a hint. None. So by removing the promise to pay something off the paper, they've made the paper become what it once promised to pay. This is deceit, it is a lie, and the Federal Reserve note is a nullity. It has no value, it's not redeemable for anything, it's a debt instrument. It says Federal Reserve note at the top instead of silver certificate. It says note. This indicates that you owe somebody something, which in fact you do. Every Federal Reserve note that's in circulation is a liability. There's nothing redeemable for them. They can be inflated at will. And this is one reason we are so in debt as a nation today. That's all I have for now. Thank you for your time.
Okay, so let me jump in here real quick, and then I'm going to open up. I got a lot of good stuff for you today. Right now, I have some junk silver. I've done this before. I don't have it right here with me. Right now, a pre-1984 quarter, silver quarter. They used to make them out of silver up until 1984, I think it was. A pre-1984 silver is now a quarter of the price of an ounce of silver. An ounce of silver, if you go right now and look, go to Connor, Jared, go to Steve Quayle. Go to stevequayle.com. That'll help. And it'll show you the price of silver. Let's say the price of silver right now is $18. It isn't that high. But let's say it is. And it tells you the value of 1 ounce of silver. We don't have to go there. That's okay. 1 ounce of silver, let's make it simple. Let's say it's $15, 1 ounce of silver. So a quarter is worth 1/4 of the price of an ounce of silver, all right? So right there we see silver is $17.06. $17.06. So you take the price of silver and you divide it by 4, and that silver coin is worth what? Somebody help me. A silver coin of silver is worth $4, right? 1/4 of 17, $4 and some change, right? Well, how can that possibly be? How can a quarter be worth $4 if it says it's a quarter on it? Now, today they give us quarters that are not really anything at all. And we don't understand the inflation and how this stuff's going on. Stay with me. When I was a kid, you could buy gasoline for 25 cents a gallon. Anybody remember that? Anybody remember that? They say, well, yeah, but coach, the price of oil is going up. No, 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 no. The price of oil has not gone up. Today, I can buy a gallon of gas for a quarter of silver. See what? Yeah, how much was silver, did we say? About $4 a gallon. How much is gas? How much is gas? The same price, pretty much, as what silver was back in 1972 when we went off of the silver and went on to the petrodollar. So the real value of money is not in that piece of paper. That piece of paper represents the value of money. Somebody come on in.
Yeah, coach. You know, the same is true for gold. You know, a lot of people are getting gold for investments and stuff. But back in the mid to late 1800s, an ounce of gold would buy you 3 good suits. Today, an ounce of gold will buy you 3 good suits.
What's an ounce of gold right now? Go back to Steve Quayle for me real quick here.
It's about $1,500.
$1,500. So you're saying $3,500 suits. It hasn't changed. See, the money hasn't changed, folks, or the value hasn't changed. They've given us these fake dollars, and then they tell us what those dollars are worth, right? And so you say, well, I'm going to go out and, I'm going to invest in the stock market, and I'm going to get a lot more of those dollars. Yeah, well, they want you to get a lot more dollars because they tax those dollars that you got, right? All that you own, they tax all of it, yet the value of what you have has not increased. You just get more dollars for it, okay? Now, look, I'm going to jump in here. Somebody got something they want to say. I got 10 things I want to get through here real quickly.
Well, you just made the argument for owning gold and silver. You just made that argument.
Yeah, or tangible, something tangible, exactly. Something you can hold, right? If you have silver or gold on paper, no, that doesn't do you any good. This blew my mind.
The dollar is just a medium of exchange. That's all it is.
It's all it is. And they tell us what that dollar is worth, Glenn. They tell us what that dollar is worth. They call it quantitative easing, right? What does that mean? Money printing. They print more money.
If you really want to hold on to something tangible that will increase in its ability to get goods and services, while it is still legal to buy ammunition without having to identify yourself, ammunition will be worth bunches at some point in the future.
Anything you can hold. Food, ammunition, water, anything you can hold. Folks, the monetary system is a fraud. Hey, Connor, click on how much in circulation. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. This is so staggering. If they were to go out and gather in every nickel, dime, penny, quarter, $1 bill, $2 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, $50 bill, $100 bill, $1,000 bill. If they were to go out somehow and call in every piece of paper coined money that we have, how much would it be? Well, right here it is. Facts. This is from the Federal Reserve. How much money, how much U.S. currency is in circulation? Are you ready, folks? There was approximately $1.7 trillion in circulation as of July 31st, 2019. This includes Federal Reserve notes, $1.655 trillion, U.S. notes, $0.2 billion, in currency no longer issued, $2 billion, and coins, $47.24 billion. Don't lose track of this. Every dollar that you could ever put your hands on in the world is $1.7 trillion, period. Let that sink in. What if everybody went to the bank and wanted to get their dollars out at the same time? How much is in there? $1.7 trillion. That is all they have. Okay? Now hang on. Jared or Connor, click on student debt. Keep this in mind. Keep in mind $1.7 trillion. That's all there is. That's all there is. $1.7 trillion is all there is. So, Connor, we don't have to play that. I'm sorry. Just scroll down there. I want people to. How much does the average person have? Here we go. How much Americans owe overall, broken down by age group? People under 35, the average person owes $67,400. They break it down. 75 and up, $34,500. That is how much the average person owes. Okay? Keep going on down, Connor. Scroll down a little bit. Yeah, if you're 45 to 54, you're over $100,000 in debt. All right? Students coming out of college are in, what is total student debt? Well, let's go to that one. Let's click on student debt. That's the next one. Student, there's a pie. You can look at all these charts. You should look at that. Education loans, heads of household, how much they own. Do me a favor, Connor. Click on student. What is it? Are we on student debt now? Click on individual debt. How much is the? Oh, that's one I was on. Go to student debt, Connor. I'm sorry. Different one. Anybody can comment at any time here. I'm trying to show you. They are the same. Like sometimes I do stupid stuff like that. Sometimes I, hey Connor, click on public pensions. Public pensions. Wow. Public pensions are scrolling down. Folks, this is money that we owe. Public pensions are monies that we owe to public employees. Okay.
And that's the real problem, Dave. The real problem is when those.
That's the real problem. Money. Scroll on down, Connor. Scroll on down. You can click on each state and it'll show you, but I want you to go down there because it's going to show you the worst states. Look at that. Okay, there they are. Unfunded liabilities. Tennessee is the best state, and they have $8,466 owed per person for pensions that are unfunded. Look at Alaska. They're last. The average person in Alaska is on the hook for $46,774 in unfunded liabilities. In other words, pensions that are committed to public workers that they don't have the money for. Are you guys following what I'm trying to show you here? What's our national debt? Do I have that in there? I thought I put it in there. Maybe I didn't. Who owns our debt? Connor, click on that. Who owns our debt? Who owns all this money, right? Who does it? Well, let's see. There's public debt. How much is it? Does it tell us how much it is? Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Hang on. The U.S. debt was $22 trillion. That's the United States owes 20. How much money in circulation? Somebody help me again, class. How much in circulation? How many nickels, pennies, dimes, quarters?
1.7 trillion.
Well, 1.7 trillion is going to pay off 22 trillion, right? Now that doesn't have anything to do with Social Security. Doesn't have anything to do with mortgages. Doesn't have anything to do with student loans. Doesn't even involve any of that. Our federal government is $22 trillion in debt right now. How much money again? Okay, let's give them the benefit out. Say there's $2 trillion in circulation, right? So as we look down through here, look at this intragovernmental debt. What does that mean? Well, the state owes it to the feds, or the feds owes it to the state, or the state owes it to the city, or the city. That a lot of the debt's just money they're spreading around to each other. 230 federal agencies, total $55.9 trillion debt. What's the point you're trying to make here, folks? What's the point I'm trying to make? What does the Bible say? Maybe that'd be a good place to start. Hey, hang on. One more thing I got to show you. Taxes collected. We're $21 trillion in debt. Click on that, Connor. Taxes collected. This is last year. All-time high taxes. The Treasury Department reported this week that individual income tax collections totaled $1.7 trillion. Wait a minute. If they took $1.7 trillion, then we ought to all be out of money, right? There's only $1.7 trillion in circulation. If they collected $1.7 trillion, we ought to be out of money. But we're not. Why? Because the money isn't real. The money's not real. So what does the Bible say? Did you know, Connor, click on it. What does the Bible say about gold? 189 verses on gold. 189. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. And instead of iron, I will bring silver. And instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. And I will make peace. Your administration and righteousness, your overseers. But as for you, only keep yourself from the things under the ban so that you do not covet them, and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble on it. But all the silver and gold, doesn't say stocks and bonds, does it? And mortgages. All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. He took all the gold, 2 Kings 14. He took all the gold and silver, and all the utensils were found in the house of the Lord. Not stocks and bonds. The Father gave them many gifts of silver and gold, precious things. Job 28, but where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not me, and the sea says, it's not me. Well, I got to read more. King's daughters are among your noble ladies. At your right hand stands the queen in gold. 189 verses on gold. Connor, go down. 82 verses on silver. Click on it. If you will, Connor. 82 verses, not on stocks and bonds, not on taxation, on gold and silver. Most relevant. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust and copper is smelted from rock. Man puts an end to darkness, and to the farthest limit he searches out the rock and gloom and deep shadow. For the king had at the sea the ships of Tarshish with the ships of Hiram. Once every 3 years the ships of Tarshish came bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. All King Solomon's drink vessels were gold, and all the vessels of honor of the fourth of Lebanon were of pure gold. Silver was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of craftsmen, the hands of goldsmiths. Violet and purple are the clothing. They all work as of skilled men. Okay, I'm overloading you. I'm trying to get all this stuff in. One more. Connor, What do they tell you, folks? The best investment you can ever make is a mortgage. Best thing you can ever do is go out and buy a home. Boy, yeah, go buy a home and go in debt. Okay, well, what will you end up paying for your house once it is paid off? Scroll down, Connor. This is a good article to read. I'm not going to take the time to read it here. Interest charges right there. Go to interest charges. Say you buy a home for $250,000 and you make a down payment of 20% of the price, which is $50,000. And so you finance the remaining $200,000 over 30 years. If the interest rate on your mortgage is 4%, you will pay a total of $143,739 in interest over those 30 years. By the time the loan is paid off, that $250,000 home will have cost you $400,000. Historically, the average interest rate on a 30-year mortgage has been higher than 8%. At 8%, that same loan would cost you $328,310 in interest. Hey, you're living in a $500,000 house and didn't even know it. Okay. I'm going to pull the plug on me. This stuff is overwhelming. Now, listen, I don't know the answer. Wait a minute. Disclaimer. I am not a financial advisor. I am not a financial advisor. But if you've got any sense at all, and you know there's only $1.7 trillion in circulation, and you know that we are $21 trillion in debt, that tells me that you ought to use the money that you have, not in a bank, because when you put it in the bank, that money is on deposit at the bank. If the bank closes the doors, your money's gone. But you ought to put your money into tangible things you can taste, touch, feel, hold. Okay, somebody smarter than me, come on in here. What's our solution here?
Well, here's the other thing. Keep in mind that unjust weights and measures are an abomination to the Lord.
They are, brother.
Okay, so line that up against fiat currency, and what do you have?
You have unjust weights and measures. And I didn't even get into the Federal Reserve being a non-governmental agency and a group of high rollers who created this thing back in 1913 or 1917, maybe it was, and have forever enslaved the American people, right?
Dave?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would just say, as far as what diversification, I've always followed a concept of being diversified, so that whenever things do go awry, you're not totally engrossed in one area. The biggest problem I've ever had with financial planners and so forth is it's the stock market, it's the stock market, it's the stock market. And that's where they make their commissions. But I've always, the idea of be diversified and get out of debt as much as you can.
Amen. But Roger, see, that's almost impossible for people because we are locked in a debt-based system.
Well, it's not. We all want a 3,100 square foot house when we would be perfectly doing fine with a 1,200 square foot house. So, you know, it's what people are wanting that gets them in tremendous debt. I could afford a new car every year. I've never owned a new car. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever bought a car that hasn't been more than 6 or 7 years old. Now, I'm not beating my drum, but the concept is out there where you can at least get your debt much more manageable than it is in a lot of times.
They've programmed. I remember when I was a young guy, they programmed me. When I went to buy a car, I didn't look at the price of the car. What did I look at? What did you all look at when you bought a car?
Monthly payment.
Can we afford that monthly payment? Yep. There's the hook in your mouth, see.
Well, hey, I'll get people in the office, and all they want to talk about is their credit score. I'm like, who gives a crap about your credit score? That's why you're in trouble.
And then,
you know, I was 61 years old before I stopped renting and bought a place. But when I bought a place, praise God, I was able to pay cash for it. So I didn't have a mortgage. I never saw any sense and paying for a place two or three times when you could only live in it once. It just did not compute in my brain.
Larry, but we're not teaching that to our children, right? We are taking our children and we're teaching them, please come and get in this debt-based system. Buy yourself a house, get a 30-year mortgage, go get a car, buy it on credit, buy it, right? We are in this, we are all trapped in this trap. Now, boys and girls, at some point, this house of cards is going to come down. I don't know what it's going to look like, but we cannot possibly pay this off. We can't even pay our own debts, let alone the foreign debt that we owe. And we're giving away money all the time, right? Crazy.
Yeah, all those figures you went through, just on the regular liability, there's 13 times as much debt as there is money. That's not sustainable. And that's not counting the unfunded liability.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, yes. But
if you, on top of the $20 trillion that we owe, anybody watches USA's Watchdog, he brought up the point that there's another over $20 trillion missing.
Did you guys know that? Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
That they discovered through an audit that it's not $21 trillion in debt. There's another 20 black, dark money. They don't know where the money went. So we're $41 trillion in debt. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to doom and gloom you. Your pension isn't safe, folks. Your pension is not secure. It's not secure.
But this is why we're going to start killing old people early.
Brother, I hate to say that, but that's where it leads us, doesn't it? So look, I hate to come on here and be a guy who brings a purveyor of bad news and then doesn't tell you what to do about it. Because I don't know what to do about it myself. You know, I don't know what to do. My wife still has money in the state teacher's retirement system with the promise to pay her however a month when she retires. Is that going to be there? Is that going to be there? Should we pull it out? And how about this? If we pull it out, the government gets 25% of it.
Hey, Coach, this is not the answer because it's not going to solve the problem, but a short-term help for the problem would be to reverse and get rid of all of the entitlements on the Social Security system, like it was that, what, 1916 or something like that. But all of this, if you're a drunkard, you get paid by the government. If you're a dope addict, you get paid by the government. If you're a sex addict, you get paid by the government because
if you're an illegal alien, you get paid by the government.
I mean, everything is a disability and Social Security should not have anything to do with each other.
Larry, I agree. We wouldn't be in the mess if the dollar was worth a dollar. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, I was just thinking we need to tie in the parable of the talents to this. There is a certain responsibility, a biblical. Again, what happened to the man with one talent? They took it away. God took it away, his order to take it away, and then go get all the man's stuff. Not only did he take his one talent away, he took all the man's stuff and gave it to the man who accumulated 10.
That's true.
So we need to tie that in with this lesson and then find a way for to educate people like you're doing. We need to take this to the next level because what's coming is going to cripple us. Tell them what you told me yesterday about the dental system.
About what, Mark?
The dental system. You know, during the economy collapse, what's going to happen with dental
coverage? Yeah. I'm sorry. It didn't click. Something simple, folks. Something simple. Get your teeth fixed now. You say, I can't afford it. Well, listen, if you can't afford it now and the economy crashes and you got tooth decay and aching teeth and you don't have the money to pay for it, can you imagine the horrible existence you'll have with bad teeth? Get your teeth fixed. Get your children's teeth fixed. No matter what happens, you're going to need those things, right? Do it now. See, we're always told to save for a rainy day. Boys and girls, it's raining now. Now is the rainy day. See, it's raining now, and they're telling us that it's prosperous. They're raining on us fake money, fake dollars. And we were getting wet and our accounts are growing and say, oh my goodness, my 401k, it's up. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the economy's booming. It's all fake. It's all fake. It's $1.7 trillion and $40 trillion in debt. I wish I had an answer for you. I don't know what to tell you to do. Do some your own research. Pray to the Lord. Ask that he would show you. I'm going to tell you this. If you got a dollar in the bank, you don't own it. If you got a dollar in retirement, you don't own it. If you have a dollar in what and whatever, unless you got it in your hands, you don't own it. Food, property, bullets, gold, silver. That all makes sense to me. Bitcoin, they say Bitcoin is the next future. Really? Okay. All right. Do you hold Bitcoin? You hold it? Oh boy. The Bible warns us our gold will be dross, our silver will become dross, folks. We live in unbelievable times. Unbelievable times. Quick lesson on money, which I don't know a whole lot about, but something to chew on today. God bless you. Jennifer Heath tomorrow. Don't miss that. Tell your friends, anyone you know that's suffering with health issues. They don't want to miss tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you then.